Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed. We are holding on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. We are at Tanur Rabbanan Yayin Mevushal on the second line of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Leilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Alea Shalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of our Daf Yomi Shiur. Today's daf, in a word, is going to talk about Gilui. It's going to talk about beverages that are left exposed, where you then have to worry about maybe a snake having left its venom in that beverage and it therefore being dangerous to consume. The Gemara is going to talk about the status of a type of wine mixture. It's going to talk about whether there's a chashash gilui on diluted wine, whether there's a chashash gilui on cooked wine. The Gemara is going to talk about a chashash gilui when a person is sleeping next to the item. Do we assume that a snake will be afraid to get too close? We're going to talk about drinking water from a guy or from an almana, and whether there's a chashash gilui when you get your drinking water from either of those sources. We're going to talk about three types of wine where there is no concern for gilui, and gilui concerns of many, many other foods that the Gemara is going to go through, mostly in Amud Beis, and then the Gemara is going to talk about other things not to do with Mayim Megulim, meaning in addition to drinking Mayim Megulim, which is problematic, there are other things that also a person ought not do with Mayim Megulim. So let's begin. Again, we're on the second wide line of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Yayin mevushal ve'aluntis, both cooked wine and aluntis, which is something that's a drink that is normally consumed for refuah purposes, but there is some wine in it. Shalov de'kuchav masurin, an aluntis kivriyasa, that if it belongs to the kuchav, if the wine was in the possession of a guy, and he either cooked it or mixed it with aluntis, it's going to be asur b'hanah, because the fact that he later cooked it or that he mixed it with aluntis does not take away the isur that's already there. However, aluntis kivriyasa muteres. Aluntis kivriyasa, meaning you have it as is, that the Jewish person made it and the guy bought it from him after it was already mixed together as an aluntis, then it's going to be mutar b'hanah, because there's no way that if the nachri only got the aluntis into his possession after it was already mixed, after it was ready in aluntis, there's no way he would use it for nisuch, because it is not viable for nisuch. They would only use for nisuch wine that is clearly recognizable as high quality stuff. But if it's some drink mixture, he would never use that for nisuch. Ve'ezui aluntis, what exactly is this aluntis that the Braisa is talking about? So Gabe Shabbos, we learn about it when it comes to, or Kedetanan Gabe Shabbos, Kedetanya Gabe Shabbos, whatever the girsa might be, probably it should be Kedetanya, because there is no Mishnah that says this, but like the Braisa tells us, when it comes to Shabbos, Osin anumlin ve'ein osin aluntis, that you're allowed to prepare on Shabbos anumlin, but you're not allowed to prepare aluntis, because aluntis is a refuah. Ve'ezuhi anumlin ve'ezuhi aluntis, what are these things? Anumlin is yayin udvash upilpulin, it's a mixture of wine and honey and peppercorns, and aluntis is yayin yashan mayim tzululin ve'aparsimon da'avdi lebe masusa. It's a mixture of aged wine and clean, clear water, and shemen aparsimon, aparsimon oil, and that's made for the Bei Masusa. It's made for the Beis HaMerchatz, meaning after a person went to the bathhouse was a place of Beis HaMerchatz, is a very steamy, thick steam, hot place where a person would come out feeling very lightheaded. I mean, that's why we assume, it's one of the reasons we assume that a bathhouse was a place that was not particularly nucky, that was not a particularly clean place, because the thick steam and the air was so heavy, it was just a very different kind of experience than we have in our private showers when we take a shower. I think that's where Rav Avadya writes, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to be mahar b'divrei Torah, in a bathhouse, you are allowed to be mahar b'divrei Torah. You're not allowed to speak divrei Torah because of the erva, but you're allowed to be mahar b'divrei Torah in our showers, because they're not considered to be these disgusting places with such thick, heavy air. But anyway, people would need a refuah after coming out. They would need something to cool them down. So the alutis was there for that purpose. So now the Gemara begins the discussion of Giloy, which is going to take up pretty much, not pretty much, but actually the entire rest of the daf. That there is a Mishnah Maseches Trumos in the 8th Perek, that there are three mashkin that are Asur Mishum Giloy. There are three beverages that we have to be concerned about leaving them exposed. Water, wine, and milk. And that Isser is an Isser Midrabanan, it's Pikuach Nefesh, that we're afraid that a Nachash maybe put its venom into the exposed beverage, and so it would be a violation of those Samim Damim Bevesecha, of doing dangerous things, when they, just like the Pasuk says, when it comes to a Makkah, that Losam Damim Bevesecha, so a person is not allowed to do that. Anyone who says, I don't care, I'm going to take the risk, it's my life, and I don't mind taking the risk. So the Rambam writes, when Makkanos, so Makas Mardus, we give him Makas Mardus. The Bizman Hazeh were not Choshesh for Giloy, because already in the times of the Rishonim they stopped being Choshesh for Giloy. Tosus writes in Daf Lamed Hayam Bet Aleph, and the Ramban also writes, and many other Rishonim, because nowadays we don't have so many snakes hanging around our house like they used to have in the times of Chazal, that sometimes we have pests and we have pest control problems, but not the kind of pests that leave venom in our beverages, and therefore it's not a concern anymore. In fact, in Yerideya Sim Kufta Zayin, there's a simon in Shulchan Aruch about Dvarim Asur Mishum Sakana, things that are Asur on account of being dangerous. And in Si'if Aleph, it says that Bizman Hazeh, since we don't have the Chashim Mitzuyin, we don't have to worry about this anymore. Nevertheless, the Shlach HaKadosh says, Shomer Nafsho Yerchak Mehem, that nowadays, even nowadays, a person should be careful about this. In the Pa'as HaShulchan, in Simon Beis, he quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he was knowing to be careful about Giloy, because he said, in addition to the obvious reasons of Giloy, of the concern of venom and danger and all that, there's also some Kabbalistic concerns as well. There are Taimim Alpinistar that we should be concerned when it comes to Giloy. Okay, so the Gemara discusses whether there's Giloy on certain types of beverages. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, Yayin Mazuk, if you have diluted wine, so now it's only one-third wine, two-thirds water. Ein bo mishum Giloy. There's no problem of Giloy. A snake does not drink from such wine. He has finer taste than that. Yayin mevushal ein bo mishum nisuch. If you have cooked wine, then you don't have to worry about yayin nesach, because novik chavim is finer, is more makbid for his avodah zarah. He wouldn't give him yayin mevushal. He wouldn't present yayin mevushal to his avodah zarah. So yibayiluhu. So he said, okay, what about the opposite? Yayin mevushal yesh bo mishum giloy or ein bo mishum giloy. Does yayin mevushal? We said yayin that's mazug is not subject to giloy, and yayin mevushal is not subject to nisuch. But is Yayin Mevushal subject to Giloy? So Tashema says, well, we'll bring a raya that, hey, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi al Yayin Mevushal, Shein Mevushal Giloy, that he was made that Yayin Mevushal is not subject to Giloy, that the snake would not drink from Yayin Mevushal. So the Gemara brings a maisa that makes this point. Rabbi Yani Bar Yishmol Chalash, Rabbi Yani Bar Yishmol fell ill, Ol legabei Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud went to visit him. Who is this Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud? So the Tosas Rid writes, he must be the brother of Rabbi Yoshua ben Zirud, who's mentioned in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, Chulin Davav, meaning Zirud is such an unusual name that if there's a Rabbi Yoshua ben Zirud and a Rabbi Yishmael ben Zirud, there probably was only one Zirud, right? It's a shame Peli, it's an unusual name. They were probably brothers. So Tosas Rid writes, in Chulin, he was in the generation of Rebbe, and over here, Rabbi Yana, he was in the generation of Rabbi Yana Bar Yishmael, so it's a totally different generation. So he says, and he was generation of Reish Lakish in our sugya, we're going to soon see. So Reish Lakish spoke to him. So how could it be in the same generation, two brothers, one of them in the generation of Rebbe and one of them in the generation of Reish Lakish? Tosfos Rid said, not so far-fetched, because there wasn't such a great distance of time between the two of them. Reish Lakish, when he was young, saw Rebbe. The Yerushalmi says that in the second Parakopeya, that Reish Lakish actually met Rebbe. He saw Rebbe when he was young. So it's possible that these two brothers had conversations with both of these people. So anyway, Rabbanan, so what happened? Alugabe Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud, Rabbanan l'shiulebe. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud and the Rabbanan went to go visit him to see how he was was doing. So Yasin became Bailu, so they were sitting there and they were just talking and learning. And they raised the Shaila, Yayin Mavushal, Yeshva Mishum Gilo, Ein Bo Mishum Giloi. When you have Yayin Mavushal, is it subject to Giloi or not? So Amalu Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud, Hachi Yam Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Mishum Gavar Rabba. He quoted Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish said in the name of Adam Gadol, Umanu, and who is that Adam Gadol? Rabbi Chia, that Yayin Mavushal, Ein Bo Mishum Giloi, that there is no Giloi problem of Yayin Mavushal. So Amalu Lei, the Chacham said to him, Nismoch. Should we rely on that, on such a teaching that you're reporting? So Machvi Luhu Rabbi Yane Bar Yishmael alive al tzavari. So Rabbi Yane Rabbi Yishmael made a motion with his hands as if to say, I take it on my shoulders. Whatever punishment you get, if you get damaged from, you get hurt by drinking Yayin Mavushal that was left Megula, I take full responsibility for that. Meaning, there's no problem of Giloy, the snakes are not going to drink from Yayin Mavushal. So the Gemara tells the story, Shmuel the Avlet, Shmuel and someone named Avlet, Havu Yasvi, they were sitting together. Aisul Kameil Chamra Mevashal, they brought Yayin Mevushal to them. Mashchil Yadei, Avlet, didn't want to touch the wine in order that, so because he wanted Shmuel to be able to drink from it. Avlet was a guy, he was not a Jewish person, and he was sitting with Shmuel, and he knew that he was an intellectual elite, so he understood that, if he touches it, Shmuel's not going to be able to drink from it. So Avlet just didn't touch it. So Amalei Shmuel said to Avlet, don't worry about it. Ariyamu Mavushal, Ein Mishum Yayin Nesach. That it's Yayin Mavushal. This wine you're allowed to touch. So there's no issue of Yayin Nesach when it comes to such wine that is Mavushal. Amtei de Rabbi Chia, another Maisa with the Shivcha of Rabbi Chia, Igaluye Lahu Chamra Mevashla. There was Yayin Mavushal that was left Megula. So Asin Kamei de Rabbi Chia, she came to Rabbi Chia to ask what they could do with this wine. So Amala, Reyamri, Yayin Mavushal, Ein Mishum Megila. What do you mean we can do this wine? It's perfectly fine. Yayin Mavushal, there's no problem of Giloi. So Shamei de Rabbi Adabarava, the Shamish of Rabbi Adabarava, Igaluye Chamra Meziga. He had diluted wine that was left Megula. So Amala, Rabbi Adasada, Reyamri, Yayin Mazuk Ein Bo Mishum Giloi. The Yayin Mazuk is also not a problem with Giloi, like we started by saying, so don't worry about it. Amrav Papa Lo Amaron Ela De Mazuk Tuva. But that's only true if there's a lot of Maziga, there's a lot of dilution, a lot of water into the wine. Aval Mazuk Below Mazuk. But if it's only partially diluted, then Shasi, then the Nachash will in fact drink from it, and therefore you do have to worry about the Giloi problem. Mazig lo mazig mi shasi, says Mar. Is that true? That the nachash is going to drink from wine that's partially diluted? Va rabba bar Rav Huna, have a cause of bar. But one time Rabba Rav Huna was on a boat, vav a nakid chamra ba'adei, and he brought some wine with him, chazeluhu chivya de tzari vasi, and he saw a snake that was, was coming past them. So amalei l'shamei, Rabba Rav Huna said to his shamish, samei eni didein, blind the eye of that snake, meaning make him not want our wine. Do something so that the snake will not get to the wine. So Shakul Kali Maya Shadabay Visola Khare. He took a little bit of water and he put it in the wine. And when the snake saw the water go into the wine, he said, that's it, I'm not interested. Who wants wine that's diluted? So you see that a snake does not drink, even if it's muzzled just a little bit. He just put a little bit of water in the wine, apparently, and that was enough to make the snake not be interested in the wine. So how can you tell me that Yayin Mazuk is only not a problem of Giloy when it's mazuk, harbe when it's fully mazuk? You see in the story that even when it's only partially diluted, the snake had no interest. So says the Gemara, that really the snake would drink wine that is partially diluted, but achayo masor nafshe, amaziga lo masor nafshe. But to drink in front of you when there are people around and there are people watching him, he'd risk his life to do it if it were totally undiluted. If it's partially diluted, he'll only drink when people aren't looking. So that's why it worked to pour a little bit of water, because there were also people there. So there was that second level of protection. So ask the Gemara, v'amaziga lo masor nafshe, are you sure that a snake will not risk his life for Yayin Mazug? V'harabi Yanai, have a barach be'ach borei. Rabbi Yanai was in a place called Be'ach Borei. V'armilei, and some say that it wasn't Rabbi Yanai, but rather it was Bar Hedya, have a be'ach borei, who was in this place called Be'ach Borei. And while whoever it was that was there, have yasu v'avakashasu chamra meziga. They were sitting and they were drinking diluted wine. Pashlu chamra bekuva. There was a little wine left in the barrel that they had drunk from. It's a rinu b'peronka, and they tied the opening of the barrel with a cloth. And they saw a certain snake that wanted to drink from the wine, the shakal maya urama bekuva, and the snake brought water in its mouth and put it into the barrel, through the covering, the cloth covering. Ademali bekuva, until it filled up, till the barrel filled up with water that was mixed with the wine that was in the barrel. V'salichamri lavei peronka, and a little bit of wine came out when it was mixed with water on the from the top of the covering, because the snake filled up the barrel with so much water by bringing so much water with its mouth till it overflowed. Vishasi, and then the snake drank from it. So don't you see that he's moser nafshel, because we were watching the whole time. So he's moser nafshel to drink in front of people, even though it's diluted. So therefore, we're back to the kasha. Why isn't why is it not considered dangerous to drink from wine that was that Rabbi Bar Avuna had? Why didn't the Nachash risk his life to drink from the wine that Rabbi Bar Avuna had if they were mosing it even just a little bit? The snake apparently does risk his life for yayin that's a little bit mazug. So answer the Gemara, Amri demazigi hu shasi, demazigi achrini lo shasi. If the snake himself is the one that dilutes the wine, then he'll drink from it. But if other people drink from the wine and it's only partially and it's diluted, the snake will not drink from it. Amr Avashi v'itemer of Mesharshia, perukal the sakanta. Yeah, you're going to give answers to avoid sakana. I mean, you're making you're giving chilukim and whatever. That's great in Lundus if you want to give chilukim, but you're risking people's lives with this. Meaning you're venturing a guess that maybe the way snakes behave is they distinguish between if they're the ones that dilute someone else. This is pikoch nefesh over here. You're going to mess around with this. So Amr Rava hilchasa yayin mazug yesh bo mishum gilui. The halacha lemaisa is that yayin mazug is subject to gilui v'yesh bo mishum yayin nesach, and it's also subject to the isra of yayin nesach. The yayin mevushal ain bo mishum gilui v'ain bo mishum yayin nesach. But when it comes to yayin mevushal, you have to worry about neither of those issues, not gilui nor about yayin nesach. There is a discussion in Rishonim how diluted the wine would have to be usher with yayin nesach, to be a concern of yayin nesach. The Meiri quotes several shitos. At first he says, calls man that it has tam yayin and mara yayin. It's still considered wine, and therefore it would be subject to yayin nesach. And he says maybe if most people would say that it's roi l'shtia b'shas et chak instead of wine, meaning in as wine, people would still drink it as their wine beverage. And third possibility is dafka when it's not more than three portions water and one portion wine. But if it's more than that, then it's just considered water. And that's the sheet of the Ritva as well. Okay, so that ends the discussion of yayin mazug and yayin mevushal in terms of giloy and in terms of nisuch. So now the Gemara brings whether we have to be choshish for giloy when there's a person right next to the item that was left megula. Shamid Rav Chilkiya Bar Tovi, the shamish of Rav Chilkiya Bar Tovi, igalia hu kista demaya, some amount of water was exposed, v'avinayim gaba, and he was sleeping right next to it. So the shamish came to Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tovi and asked the shayla whether it's a problem or not. So Amalei, Rabbi Chilkiya responded, "Hare amru emas yashen alayan," that snakes are afraid of sleeping people, so he's not going to drink from it when you're sleeping right there, because he's going to be afraid. But that's only during the daytime. In the nighttime, snakes are not afraid of sleeping people. So if it was a daytime nap, you don't have to worry about it. If it was a nighttime sleep, you do have to worry about it. Velohi. But the truth is, Rabbi Chilkiya's psak is not correct. Whether it's daytime or nighttime, the snakes are not afraid of sleeping people. They'll happily go and drink from it and put their venom in it, and it's going to continue to be dangerous. Rav lo shasi mi be'er ma'a. Rav would not drink from water of a nachri. So Amar, and he explained, lo zihiri b'giloi. Why would I drink from water that belongs to a nachri? They're not careful about giloi, so it's a sakana to drink from it. And mi be'er malta shasi. But from an almana of a Jewish man, you know, a Jewish woman who's an almana from her husband, he would drink her water, even though maybe she doesn't know the halacha so well. Because Amar, sircha d'gavra nikita, she got into certain habits of how to run her household when she was married. So we assumed that she continues to run the household based on the habits that she got into when she was married, and therefore undoubtedly her husband was careful about Gilui, so we could assume she's careful about Gilui as well. Shmuel lo shasi maya mi bayar malta. Shmuel would not drink from an almana. Amar lesla emasa degabra v'lo mechasi maya. That we're choshesh that maybe she would only cover up the water when her husband was around. Now she knows that no one is looking over her shoulder, and therefore maybe she's not careful about it anymore. Avul mi bayar ma'a shasi. But he would drink from water that he got from a guy. Mihida giluya lo kapti min karusa mi akapti. Granted, they're not choshesh for giloy, but the cleanliness of the water they're choshesh for, and therefore they would cover up the water for the sake of cleanliness. Others say that Rav would not drink water from the Be'er Ma'a, but he would drink from the Be'er Malta, and Shmuel lo shasi la maya lo mi Be'er Ma'a v'lo mi Be'er Malta. So Rav is the same as we said, but Shmuel would not drink from either one. He would not trust the Arma'a either. In the first version, Shmuel trusted the Arma'a because of cleanliness purposes. He assumed that he would keep cleanliness. In the second version, he does not trust the cleanliness of the guy. Says the Gemara, Amrav Shub and Levi, Shalosh Yenosein. There are three types of wine, Ve'in Ben Mishum Giloi, and they are not subject to the Isra of Giloi. Ve'in Luhein, and they are. Chad, if you have wine that's very sharp. Matok, wine that's very, Chad Mar, one is very bitter and, there are three that are in behem. Sholosh Yenosein, the ein behem mishum gilui, the Elohein. One is chad, if it's very charif, it's very sharp, and therefore nachash would not drink from it. Mar, if it's very bitter, and matok, and if it's very sweet, because the sweetness will make the wine not as good anymore, and the nachash will not want to drink from it. So the Gemara says, what each one of these things are. So chad means tila harifa. It's very strong wine. It doesn't have any sweetness, and it tastes almost like vinegar. The matzri zeki, that because of its harifos, the canisters that it's held in start to crack. Mar is yarnaka, it's a very bitter type of thing, and matok is chulia, and matok is made from the from dessert wine, you know, the grapes that are on the very top of the tree, that because they're exposed to the sun, they become very, very sweet grapes, and therefore makes a very sweet wine. Rav Chama Masni the Iluya. Rav Chama explained that these three wines are very good, that they're high quality, that chad, chamar, or pilpulin. Chad means that it's wine that they added peppercorns to, and that's what made it sharp. Mar is apisintin, that it's wine that because of refor purposes, to make it more therapeutic, they added another ingredient, a type of herb that's very bitter. And matok is mebarg, is a certain type of other beverage that they mixed in. And the reason the nachash doesn't drink from it is because it's got other ingredients. It's not just yayin. So it's not about the fact that these are low quality items. These are very high quality items, but they're high quality items with other ingredients in them. Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Karina ain bo mishum gilui. Karina is something that's not subject to gilui. Says, more great, my Karina, what exactly is a Karina? Amar Rabbi Avo, Chamra Chalia da Asime Asya. It's a sweet wine that comes from a place called Asya. Amar Rava, Uvi Mekomo, in the place where the wine is made, meaning in Asya itself, yesh bo mishum gilui, it is subject to gilui. My time, well, what's the reason? Because Chamar Medinahu, that is the wine in that place. So the snakes got used to that wine also. And therefore, even though in other places this would be too unusual, the snake would not be interested in it. In the place where that's the available wine, the snakes of that place will be interested in it. Amar Rava, hay chamra da akrim. If you have wine that began to sour, but it's not yet vinegar, atasayomi, for 3 days from the time that it begins to sour, yeshva mishum giloi, it still has a status of giloi, umishum yai nesach, and it could be subject to yai nesach. Mikan ve'eluch, once it's more than 3 days after it began to sour, ein bo mishum giloi, the snake's not going to take from it, vein bo mishum yai nesach, and the guy's not going to give it to his avodah zarah anymore, so there's no yai nesach problem either. Now, if you recall, we mentioned yesterday that the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is that we are not not matir vinegar nowadays, because we're not a bucky in what's considered vinegar, what's considered wine. Sometimes it sours and we're not sure anymore if it's really good or not. The Rashba writes that from our sugya, from Rava, it's muchach against Rabbeinu Tam, because Rava says after 3 days from when it begins to turn, it already has a din of chometz. So you don't need some sort of level of expertise to know what's called chometz. You know when it starts to sour, and 3 days later it's already called chometz, it's already called vinegar. So nevertheless, the Rashba writes, HaMachmir Tavolav Bracha, and he says, when they throw it onto the ground, it starts to bubble, then for sure it's chometz. Then there's no reason to be machmir any further. Now, the Tur quotes that the Rashba's matir chometz that bubbles on the ground, and then he quotes that Rabbeinu Tam asers, because Rabbeinu Tam says that we cannot tell the difference between what's chometz and what's not. From the Tur, it sounds like that Rabbeinu Tam would aser even if it bubbles on the ground. So that's what the Bach points out, that we're machmir even by something that's absolute vinegar, because we're afraid that the Bach explains that if we're going to be makel by some vinegars, people will be makel by all vinegars, and they'll end up being makel about something that's not really full-fledged vinegar. Nevertheless, the Beis Yosef says we're makel like the Rashba, unless you know of a particular pirtza or a particular chashash of a pirtza in your location, so then we could be makel like the Rashba. When Nardoi Yamri, back in the Gemara, the Nardoi say, Afilu basur tosiyam mechashin mishum giloi, even after 3 days we're choshish mishum giloi, my taima, zinin mikrishasi, because sometimes a snake would drink from it, even after it's turned to vinegar, the snake may still be interested in drinking from it. Tan Rabbanan, yayin toses, new wine after it's freshly squeezed, ein bo mishum giloi, there's no concern of giloi, the snake is not going to drink from it. Vekamat si sasal, and how long is that sisa last for? Shloshi yamin, for 3 days after you squeeze the grapes. You don't have to worry about giloi. Hashachalim, a type of vegetable that gets ground up and crushed up and they put wine or water into it, ein be mishum giloi, is not a violation of giloi. B'nei gola nagu ben isser, but nevertheless, the b'nei gola were knowing isser, v'lo amran el du les buchala, but that's only if there's no vinegar. Avlis buchala migri buhu, but if there is vinegar in it, then you don't have to be machmir about it, because migri buhu, it's as if the vinegar is fighting with the nachash, causes him to have a taste in his mouth that he cannot be sovel, and therefore the nachash would never taste from such a thing. That's how Rashi seems to explain. The Tosfos Rit explains the exact opposite. He says that the chamim who disagree with the Bnei Gola that say that ein be mishum gilui is only if you don't mix vinegar in it. But if you do mix vinegar in it, then everyone would agree yesh be mishum gilui, because the stench of the chometz will arouse the nachash's interest, and he'll go and elite from it. And even though we said chometz is ein bo mishum giloi, that's chometz when it's pure chometz. But when it's mixed in with other things and it's not as strong, it's enough to arouse the curiosity and the interest of the nachash, and therefore it will be subject to giloi. Kuta chabavli, a certain type of dish called kuta chabavli, which is a famous Talmudic dish. It comes up when in discussions of chametz and pesach. It comes up in discussions of basar b'chalav. Comes up in all sorts of discussions in halacha. So you have this thing. It's made with like a stale or moldy bread and mei chalav. So it has a very strong vinegary-like taste to it. Same by mishum giloi. B'nei gola nagu bo iser, but b'nei gola there were no iser on it, so, because they were concerned that the snake might be interested in it. Amar of Nashi iispe nikure, if on the surface of the kutach there's what looks like teeth marks from a snake, then chayshinan. Then maybe you want to worry about giloi if that's what it looks like. Amar of Chia Barashi Amar Shmuel mei tif. Mayim that comes down, this is, what do they call it? Amanapia or something like that? When the word sounds like the sound. Mayim that comes out of a kli, it goes tif, tif, it just drips, little drops at a time, and you hear the sound, ein bo mishum ginli. That's, you don't have to worry, because the nachash is going to be afraid of the sound. He's not going to approach the vessel if he hears the dripping of the water. Now, Tosfos writes in Maseches Baba Kama that he thinks that it's a human being. He thinks it's a person, and that's why he's afraid to approach the Beis Yosef. And that siman in Yoredeya about Dvar Ma'asur Mishum Sakana writes that it's dafka the mashkin that are in the bottom kli, that's where it's dripping into, that's Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. But where it's coming from, the sound of the dripping isn't in the top kli that it's coming from, so that you do have an issue of Gilui. But the Taz happens to disagree, and he says that that's only according to the Rambam, that the snake is only fearful because of the bubbling up or the dripping. But according to Tosfos, that it's because they think that there's a person around, so they're not going to get anywhere near the whole matzav over there. They're not going to get near the top kli or the bottom kli because they're afraid that there's a person around. Amar Rav Ashi, v'hu da'avit tif la'dei tif tif. That when do we say that it's einbo mishum gilui? It's only if it was dripping quickly enough that you hear it, you know, and somewhat consistently drip after drip after drip. But if it drips and then there's a long pause and then the next drip, so then we have to be choshesh that maybe the nachash drank from it. Amram Chibrashi Amr Shmuel, pi te'ena. If you detach a fig from a tree and there's a place where the stem was attached to the tree, ein bo mishum giloi. Leave that exposed. You don't have to worry about giloi that the nachash put anything there. Keman, who we assume like ki aitana, like the following tana, detanya, Reb Lazar Omer, ochala damanav muteina balayla. A person is allowed to eat grapes and figs at night, even though he's not able to see in the dark to see if there was a snake bite in that food. Veinu choshesh, you don't have to worry about anything a snake may have done. Mishum shnemar shomer psoim Hashem, because the pasuk says Kodesh Baruch Hu watches over simple people and people who just do normal things, and you don't have to worry that that there's danger involved. The Sefer Torah Chaim raises the question: Why are Te'inim and Anavim different? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect a person that Nachash will not have eaten from his Te'inim and his Anavim, and yet when it comes to all other Giloi things, Hashem does not protect the person. Meaning, why do we say Shomer Psayim Hashem on all Giloi? Why do we only say it on these things? Meaning, we're not saying that a snake won't eat from it. We're saying that since it's dark at night and you can't tell, so Shomer Psayim Hashem, you could eat from it, even though a snake might have eaten from it. So Torah Chaim suggest that just like Kadosh Baruch Hu only watches the Psayim and not the Chachamim, because the Chachamim are able to watch over themselves, not to make a mistake, as opposed to Shotim, where they don't have the ability to watch over themselves. So too, when it comes to Mashkin that you're able to protect from Gilui, like water or wine or milk, so you put them in Kalim and you protect them. So it's easier to protect them from a snake. So that's where Hashem is not going to protect you, because you could protect yourself. But when it comes to the Tanim than an oven, people don't normally keep them in Kalim, so it's much more difficult to protect yourself from the impact of the snake when it comes to those things. Oh, once it's difficult to protect yourself, so just like Hashem protects the fools who are unable to protect themselves, He protects people who are not fools on things that they're not able to protect themselves from. Amrav Safra Mishum Rabbi Yoshua Droma. Shlosha Mine Eres Hain. There are three types of snake poison. There's Shalbacher, there's of a young snake, Shokea, and that sinks right to the bottom of the liquid. Shalbenani, there's a middle-aged snake, Mifapea, and that sort of mixes into the whole beverage. Vishalzakin Tsaf, and then of an old snake, it floats to the top. So it says in the Memra, the Kama, the Koshish, Kachish Chele, you mean to tell me as a snake gets older, it gets weaker? Vatanya, but didn't we learn in the Brisa, Shlosha calls Mancha Maskinin, Gvura Mitu Sefes Ben, that there are three things that as they get older, they get stronger? Veluain, Dug, Nachash, Vichazir. So a snake is on that list, so why does its poison become weaker? So it says more, Kavach Asufi, the Kamosif, Ziare Kalish. It becomes a stronger creature, but its poison becomes weaker, it becomes thinner, and therefore floats on the top of the water, or the top of the milk, or the top of the wine. So why do you need to tell me this mitzius of what happens to snake venom when it gets mixed with liquid? Why does it matter that if it's snake venom of a young snake that it gets that it sinks to the bottom? Who cares? Titania, because it matters for us, la halacha, because the Brisa tells us. chavis shenizgalov, let's say you had a barrel of water that was left exposed, afal pi sheshasim imena tishav lomesu, nine people drank from it and they did not die. So maybe you should say, oh, okay, obviously the snake didn't put anything in here and it's fine. Lo yishta imena asiri, a tenth person should not drink from it. Maisa yishashasim imena tishav lomesu, one time nine people drank from it and did not die, v'shas asiri v'mesu, and the tenth guy died. Amra b'yirmiya zeu shokeh, Rabbi Yirmiya said, oh, obviously the snake that drank from it was a young snake, so the venom went straight to the bottom, and therefore the guy who drank the last cup is the one that died. And the Brisa says similarly, v'chein avatiach shenizgalsa, if you have a avatiach, is a watermelon that is left exposed, afal pi sha'achlin mena tishav b'nei adam lemesu, even though nine people drank from it and did not die, lo yachlin mena asiri, a tenth person should not drink from it. Maisa hayavachlin mena tishav lemesu, there was a maisa that nine people drank from it and they did not die, v'achal asiri v'mesa, and a tenth person drank from it and did die. So Amar Rebbe zeh shokeh, and he said, ah, you see, that's the venom of a very young snake, so that's why the person died from it. So the Gemara says, the Tan Rabban, we have a price of mayim shenizgalu, water that was left exposed, and you're worried that a snake may have put its venom in it, hareza liishpachem b'rishos harabim. So there are other things you're not allowed to do with it. In addition to not drinking from it, you also shouldn't pour it out into the rishos harabim, because if a barefoot person walks over it, and he's going to get the snake venom in between his toes, and you know, it's going to damage his skin, and he's going to require a refuah, or he's going to get sick, and he's not going to have a refuah. V'lo yarbitz benes habayis, you also shouldn't sprinkle it on the ground of your house. It used to be that dirt floors, so dirt, you know, when you trample on it, it fills the air. It comes in, so they'd have to sprinkle water on their floors all the time in order to keep the dirt pat down, so that it wouldn't keep coming up. So don't use mayim megulim for that purposes. V'lo yigabel benes hatit, you shouldn't mix cement with such water. V'lo yashkeman lo behemto, you should not feed your own behema mayim megulim, because you might shecht it later on and you'll eat its meat and you're going to get hurt from it. V'lo behemes chavero, nor should you feed someone else's behema from it. V'lo yirchitz ben panav yad radav, and you shouldn't bathe in it or wash your hands, face, and feet in this with this mayim. Now Tosis points out that why does Zev say you shouldn't feed it to your behema nor somebody else's behema? So Tosis points out it's zu ve'in tzarech lomar zu, that don't feed your behema and ain't tzarech lomar not to give it to behemas chaveiro. Rabbeinu Elchanan says no. Since the Tana taught both of them together, lo yashka, it wasn't two separate things, lo yashka bemto and lo yashka behemas chaveiro. So you don't have to make a diukim in the fact that we mentioned both of them and whether it's zuvein tzarech lomar zu. It was one line, it was one sentence, so it's not like two separate statements. Acherim omrim, others say makom sheish sirta, if there's a crack in the skin that looks like there's a crack, so on the body, then usur, then you're not allowed to wash such parts of the body with water that was left megula. But ain't sirta, if it's part of the body that doesn't have any cracks in the skin, that's very smooth, mutter, then you're allowed to wash with my megulim. So again, we had said first that you're not allowed to wash panav yad v'raglav. Then the acherim say you're only not allowed to wash parts of your body that have a crack in it. But if there are no cracks, you're allowed to wash those parts of the body. So it says, well, acherim mayna tanakama, aren't those the same places of the body? Tanakama said panav yad v'raglav, all of those things have folds in them and cracks in them. So all of those things are concerned. No, there is a difference. The back of the hand, the top of the foot, and the cheekbones, where there are no cracks in those areas. We said you're not allowed to give to drink your own animal, nor anybody else's animal, from the mayim megulim. But didn't we have a braisa that tells us you are allowed to give mayim megulim to your own behema? So says Mara, ki tanya hi l'shunra. When it says that you can give it to your own behema, that's talking about your own cat, where the venom will not cause any harm, because it's normal for a cat to eat snakes, and the cat doesn't seem to mind, he doesn't seem to get hurt from eating snakes, so we're not worried about a cat drinking water that has snake venom in it. The cat eats the whole snake and it doesn't seem to bother him. If that's the case, we're talking about a cat, so why is it only your own cat? You should be allowed to feed it to your friend's cat as well. Says Marna, the cat will get a little weaker from the venom. So says, well, because your own cat will also get a little weaker. Well, Hadabari, your own cat will get healthy eventually, meaning he'll get over it. Well, the Chavrinami Hadabari, your friend's cat will also get over it, it'll also get healthier. So why does it make it any better or any worse? So says Gemara, Zimnin Dabai Lizbuna Mafsaleminei. Now, the problem with feeding to your friend's cat is sometimes your friend is going to want to sell the cat that day, and because it's weak that day, no one's going to want to buy it. So you're costing him money, and therefore you should only give it to your own cat. You should not give it to anybody else's cat. The Rambam, Hilchos Ratzeach Shmir Sanefesh, Perik Yud Aleph, writes, V'lo yashkemen lo behemto v'lo behemes chavero aval mashke osan l'chatul. Now, the Rambam is not mechalik between your own cat and anybody else's cat. So all the Nosei Kelim say, the Gemara just spent a few lines trying to figure out what the difference is between your own cat and somebody else's cat. Doesn't that tell you that there is a difference between your own cat and somebody else's cat? So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that Bizman Azeh, no one sells cats, so you don't have to worry about any hefsid that you're going to cost the other guy, because no one is selling their cats anyway. Whereas the Merkavah Mishnah suggests that the Rambam is talking about after the Gezerah of Rav, that appears in Baba Kama Daf Pei, that you're allowed to kill somebody else's cat that's a mazik, and it's not a violation of gezel. So over here also, since cats, their nature is to be mazik, so you're allowed to kill somebody else's cat. You don't have to worry about the fact that you're weakening the cat, and therefore it's not a problem. You don't have to worry about any hezek that you might be causing to the cat. Okay, Bezrim, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Asi. I'm not yet sure if I'm saying shir tomorrow on Shabbos Daf. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp group, I guess, to find out. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening.